We feel that scholars produce scholars and prophets produce prophets. And we have on our program this year two of the finest. Brother Ward is our speaker tonight. He has blessed us many, many times. Brother Ward, it's a thrill to turn the pulpit to you. Take the whole church for yourself. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this would be a wounded nation without the great sovereign state of Louisiana.
Amen.
It is so akin to California that hardly you leave one and enter the other. State of energy, oil, gas. Above all, it's the great state of culinary arts. It's the state of cooking. And I trust that many of you will introduce my colleague, Mr. Carr, to some of the unforgettable dishes and tastes. Things like etouffee. Oh, I could stop preaching right now. I'm blessed and honored by your fellowship tonight and your kindness toward me and our great hosts, Brother Janaway and Brother Allen and Brother Ashbrook, men who stand tall in our fellowship, and all who have that lovely human touch. My pleasure this year to share the pulpit and to be ministered to by Brother Carr, one of the great preachers in our World Fellowship and one of the fine executives among us. You'll be blessed by his personality and by his ministry. And it's a great added green stamp bonus to have Brother Vandermeer here. I love him, I've known him for so many years, and his prayers for you and toward you strengthen you. Praise God. Praise God. So we have a big day ahead, should Jesus tarry, morning and afternoon. And I think it's open to the public, isn't it? Open to the public. I know it's a great thrill for my colleagues, for preachers, to be able to sit with your wives tonight. It's a rare thing, isn't it, to be able to sit down there and play sweetheart. That's a beautiful thing. And go easy on them, ladies. Don't poke them in the ribs too many times. They've got to preach Sunday. Will you turn, please, for the gospel tonight to Paul as he addresses himself to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and the story is found in verse 6. Chapter 15, verse 6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain. This is known in the media as a scoop. A scoop is the adventure, honor of telling it before anyone else does. And it's amazing that the four great reporters, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, missed this newsworthy story. And years later, Paul tells the story. My father's people grew and multiplied right next to French Canada. So when I come down toward the Bayou country, I feel a little tug, a natural tug. And they call a certain company in Canada a company. And they refer to the Hudson Bay Company. Long before Plymouth Rock, these were on the lip of the Arctic, building trading routes. And today, of course, the most beautiful department stores in Canada are the Hudson Bay stores. There have been many famous companies. I don't want to be either facetious or patronizing. You know, of course, I'm not a Yankee. I'm not a Yankee. I was born far north of the Yankees. And we had trouble with them, too. But we'll always be proud of the great company, Lee, Stonewall Jackson, Ewell, Jubal Early, Beauregard, Johnstone, Longstreet. Perhaps such a company will never assemble again. There's an interesting law that circumstances always match men. Suddenly, at the birth of the nation, there was a company. Washington, Adams, Monroe, Madison, Jefferson, Franklin. And in athletics, we have dynasties or companies. The old New York Yankees, Ruth and Gehrig and Lazare and Rolfe and Dickey, Gomez. And this is the story of a company that Jesus personally put together. Now, Jesus was born in the South, but he grew in the North, and he loved the Galilee. Most of the company were recruited there. Most of the miracles occurred in the Galilee. And he contracted with that company, I will go before you into Galilee. And this is the story of that tryst, that rendezvous kept. And it dispels two favorite myths. First of all, that on a lost weekend called Calvary, the organization fell to pieces. Nothing could be further or farther from the truth. And here we have the story of the company that in a century changed the world. Now, I'm going to use for a moment or two an approach, an exegesis. There are many styles of preaching. I am contained most of the time to textual and topical and occasionally biographical styles of preaching. The expository is probably the greatest. And there are many approaches. Tonight, I suggest an approach, the imaginative approach. asking the question, who were in this company? Now, for your ease and comfort, I am not going to name the 500. I'll just start, and there should be plenty for everybody next Sunday morning. Who would be there? I'll tell you one man who would be there. The madman from Gadara. Jesus moved under the lip of Syria, the Golan Heights, and found this man who could not be handcuffed. He was so full of the devil. He roamed the cemeteries. He was a hazard to the community, and no man could bind him. Have you ever seen anybody full of the devil? Now, there are other aliases like cussedness and meanness, but it all reduces to something called the devil. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I have. On an occasion, I was preaching the dedicatory sermon for a big new church in Dayton, Ohio, Sunday night. I had been attracted by this incident. A man with an unclean spirit. And suddenly I realized that these aren't confined to state institutions. Unfortunately, there are Americans who dress as though they came from Esquire. But the moment that man opens his mouth, invective, profanity, vulgarity, expletives, we're told now, filth pours from that man. Only the devil can talk that language, honey. That's the language of hell. And there are girls in our offices today who cannot think clean thoughts. They think pornographic scenes constantly. Unclean. And as I was moving into this, I noticed a little disturbance in the lobby of that great temple. And evidently, the ushers were offering an option. One or two seats in the far gallery or the front, which is usually open in an Assemblies of God church. You usually have to come early to get the back seats. And the party elected to come right down. It was quite a parade. I noticed as I preached certain things, I noticed marks of wealth with the gentleman, his alligators, beautiful tailoring, and the lady also showed marks of wealth. Every time the light struck her jewels, I suffered a minor sunstroke. And suddenly, I was pointing an index finger right at that couple and saying, God have mercy on you, mister. You low-down, hell-bound wife-beater, you. God have mercy on your dirty soul. Now, I recovered and kept preaching. Early the next morning, the pastor reached me in the Biltmore Hotel, and he said, you better get to my office. There's a woman that's disturbed. And no one had to introduce me. I knew it was the woman of the jewels. And she lost no time. She said, now, I want to ask you, why did you select out of hundreds my husband and indict him? Why did you tell him that he was a miserable, low-down, hell-bound wife-beater. Why did you do that? And I thought, heavens to Betsy, why did I do that? Why can't I be like ordinary preachers? You know something, honey? I've been married 47 years last Christmas. I married on Christmas so I wouldn't forget my wedding anniversary. And I've learned a couple of things. I've learned to listen when a woman starts talking. And I listen. And quickly, she filled in the background. First, an apology for being late. She said, I had been reading my Bible and noticed the advertisement and asked my husband to escort me. We had never been in that church. We found it difficult to find parking and so on. Now, she said, my husband is Dr. Johnson. He probably is the finest dental surgeon in southern Ohio. Moreover, he is the chairman of the board of the largest church in this city. We live in affluence in the country club district. And she went on to note the benefits. And I broke in and said, now, what has that got to do with me? Then she wept. She said, I wish circumstances would permit me to show you the black and blue, the bruises that cover my body. That man who is a chairman of the board of the church, a professional leader in this city, mauls me. He has dragged me by the hair through the rooms of our house in violence, in tantrums. And this morning, he is numb. He has canceled all his appointments. He sits there looking into space. He knows there is no opportunity for collusion. You could not have known us. Now she said, why? Why can he serve the communion in this great church? And the first time we come into your church, sir, you hang all the dirty linen up. And I said, honey, that